Well, it's a special day for me today. My parents are here. Could you please stand up? Just embarrass them for all the embarrassment they've given me. And my dad is 6 foot, so I know what you're thinking. It's obvious where I got my towering height from. And my mom is not as tall. Also, I'm in a wedding next week where I'm playing a primary part, so that's also very exciting. And lastly, I'm getting to talk about the Holy Spirit today, which is wonderful. So four people that I love in the same room and that I have a relationship with, so that's good. So actually, my heart is racing a little bit seeing my parents here. It's a bit of a mind trip to see them just staring at me like that. Maybe I'll just stand this way. But it's great. My parents have prayed for me so many years, day after day. And so in many ways, it's special to be here, because I don't think I'd be here if it wasn't for the prayers of my mom and dad. So thank you for that. that's a little emotional for me. Yes, which we won't go into detail to describe right now. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And before I just have to address this issue here. The tyranny of my name and my family name here, Suhail Stevens with a V and an S at the end. There's no V and there's no S at the end. Unfortunately, it's a PH. And I was really hoping that today my name would be correctly printed in the bulletin because my parents are here. But as luck would have it, it has not been printed correctly. So at least it's not the first name. It's not Sohel or Toenail or Supail or one of the other variations. So again, I'm also thanking you for being here, but also apologizing for our lazy printing machine. So just kidding. Anyway, all that to say, today we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and the passage for the day is part of it is on this chalkboard. Krista has been doing a great job to write out the verses each week. But if you turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. This will be the passage for the morning. And we've been on a great journey with Peter to understand different markers in his journey of discipleship, of following Jesus, to distill the types of things that we also can learn and expect from our own journey of following Jesus. So in this passage of Scripture, Jesus speaks to the disciples and he talks about the Spirit and receiving the Spirit. So John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, after Jesus rose from the dead, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." It's a very short verse, isn't it? But it's a bit of a strange interaction if you actually think about it. In this moment, Jesus says to the disciples to receive the Spirit and then proceeds to breathe on them. Now, I want you to just picture how bizarre that would be if at ministry time, if someone was up here receiving prayer with their eyes closed in a very tender moment with God, and somebody breathed on the back of their neck or breathed on their face, it would be a little awkward and probably a little uncomfortable for the person receiving the prayer. Well, this is what Jesus does, and so what on earth is going on in this moment? Is the Spirit transmitted when people breathe on you? Well, I hope that people who are doing prayer ministry will chew gum in that case, because we wouldn't want to receive the Spirit and some bad breath at the same time. It's a bizarre moment, and to unpack it, hopefully that's the goal of the morning today. And the Holy Spirit is a bit of a contentious member of the Trinity. Maybe that's because of televangelism. Maybe that's because of all the stuff that we see on the screen, that when people are experiencing the Spirit, it's often a very dramatic somewhat bizarre to some of us experience. And so we're in this paradox of wanting to experience more of God, wanting to be filled more with his Spirit, to enjoy a life in the Spirit, but we're also afraid of what that might look like. Are we going to look foolish? Are we going to lose control? And when I was a teenager and I was first discovering more about the Holy Spirit because of the youth group I was going to, this was the paradox that I was experiencing. On one hand, wanting so much more of God than I was experiencing, being filled with this desire based on all the stories in Scripture of God being real to people, but on the other hand, not wanting to look like a complete fool. Was I going to clap like a seal? Was I going to bark like a dog? Was I going to twirl like a ballerina? You know, any one of those things would have been very embarrassing for me. And yet I wanted God. So do I have to let go of that embarrassment to chase after God? Maybe some of you will resonate with that tension. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd first like to talk about who the Holy Spirit is and the gift of the Holy Spirit, not exactly the gifts of the Spirit, but the gift of the Spirit. And then we'll have some ministry time where we can all receive more of the Spirit this morning. So the person of the Holy Spirit, and I think you all might have a handout in your bulletins. This is just a few scriptures that you might want to look up at home, which give you an outline of some of the personality traits of the Spirit. And that's really important, because if we are interested in receiving the Spirit, it's the same principle that applies to anything that we want to receive. We want to know what it entails. What is this gift about? Tell me more about it before I receive it. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Can you do a favor for me?" the natural question most of us would ask is, "What's the favor?" So knowing what you're receiving helps you find motivation to receive it. And it's the same with the Spirit. If we don't really know who the Spirit is or what he is or what he does, why would any of us want to receive him or receive more of him? And in our Western culture here, it's a very suspicious thing to talk about things that we can't sort of apprehend with our senses, things we can't touch or taste or hear or feel. When we talk about something like Spirit, what is that? How do I trust that? Is it an airy fairy kind of vapor? Most of us will feel a level of uncomfortability when we talk about Spirit-related things, because we're growing up in a culture where material, what we can see and touch, is what we trust. So in Hebrew, the word for Spirit is ruach, and what it means is breath or wind. And actually, in the Old Testament, it doesn't have a male or a male designation. It's a feminine designation, which is an interesting... Teresa's giving me the fist pump there in the air. Which is interesting, isn't it? It's a female designation. In the New Testament, the word for Spirit is pneuma. It's the Greek word pneuma. And we get the word in English pneumatics from that word. Pressurized air, pneumatics. Oftentimes, machinery will have pressurized air in it. And in the New Testament, pneuma means also breath or wind. And although it doesn't have a male or female designation in the Greek, in the Bible we read it as a he. It's designated as he in the New Testament. So when we think of breath, and especially when we think of wind, we think of it as an impersonal force, something that acts upon us that we don't really have much relationship with. As you would imagine, thinking about your own breath or someone else's breath, it's not something that you expect to talk with or interact with. In the scriptures, however, the Holy Spirit is actually God, and as such, he has personality, which I think is why perhaps the writers have used the word he to describe it. It just makes it a little bit easier to imagine that this is not just a force, as in Star Wars, or a vapor, or just simply wind or breath, but there's personality there that we're interacting with. And this personality is God, one special member of the Trinity. So if you look at this handout, which I've printed for you, on the first and second page, there's at least four traits which characterize the Spirit as a personality that we can see in Scripture. Now, one of them is thought. So there's a few scriptures here which will clearly show that the Spirit has a mind or has thoughts. He's a thinking being. And one of the ones that I love so much is this simple phrase in Acts 15:28, where the apostles are together making decisions about things, and the phrase they use is, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. We often use that in our staff meetings, this phrase, it seems good to the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? That means that the Spirit approves of things or disapproves of things. He thinks through things, he evaluates, he has a mind, right? Second thing that the Spirit has relative to personality is speech, talking directly to people in Scripture, talking through people, and also talking through Scripture itself. So there's one time when Peter is on the roof in a town called Joppa by the sea, and he has this vision of these animals coming down, clean and unclean animals, and he's wondering what it is. And then in Acts 10:19, it says, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. The Spirit here is speaking to Peter and giving him quite specific and clear instructions of what's to materialize in a few moments later. I remember when I was, my family, we used to go to the Hong Kong Vineyard Church. And some of you may know or have heard of Jackie Pullinger, who's the pastor there. And during worship, oftentimes people would be encouraged to listen to the Spirit, to share sort of gifts or to share words of encouragement or even to share songs that they felt God wanted to encourage the body with. So there was one time when I was standing there in worship and I had my eyes closed and I felt like these words were coming to mind that God may want me to sing over the church. And I'd never done anything like that. And so, of course, I was struck with this paranoia about whether I was hearing right, whether I'd be in tune if I was to take the microphone and sing. And I was having this internal wrestle. I was quite sure it was the Spirit speaking to me, but I just was feeling very nervous. And I felt a tap on my shoulder, and it was Jackie, the pastor, and she said, you can sing your song now. So if you've ever been caught out by the Holy Spirit like that, that was a moment for me. I just thought, oh gosh, I don't have a choice now but to sing this song. But it was a great moment of me feeling like the Spirit was talking, even singing in my mind, and then him talking to someone else to confirm that this is what he wanted to happen. He loves to talk to us. And like Jason said, the Spirit helps us hear what the Father is saying to us and helps us even experience the Father's love. And sometimes that happens through words, where we hear things. Sometimes it happens through others, where someone will say something to you and it just seems to have a spark of life. It doesn't seem like a normal sentence that somebody is just saying offhandedly. I've had that experience many times with Raymond. Where is Raymond? Is he somewhere around? Raymond over there in the back. If you ever are in need of a word from the Lord, talk to Raymond. He will, for sure, within a few minutes, tell you something that will just be spot on to you. It's wonderful. The Spirit speaking through people. And obviously, the Spirit has breathed his life into Scripture. So as we look through Scripture, all of it is Spirit-breathed. And so we can hear God's voice through the Scriptures, too. So far, he has a mind. He also speaks. Thirdly, he also has feelings, which is good because a person without feelings is not much fun to be around, right? So there's a whole list of feelings here that the Spirit has. And one that I really like, and it's striking, is that he has the capacity to experience grief. It's a very profound thing to think of God, the creator of the universe, experiencing grief. And the Scriptures are quite clear that he experiences grief. When people rebel in the Old Testament, it says they grieved the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, there's even a command from Paul, which very matter-of-factly says, do not grieve the Spirit. In other words, he can be grieved. It's not to suggest that he's weak. He's not oversensitive and over-emotional. It's just to say that he's made his heart very vulnerable to relationship. And so the things that we do, the things that we say, the way that we treat others, the way that we think, affect that relationship and affect his heart. And he can be grieved. And I know that I've grieved him, and I've had to apologize to him for grieving him. There was one time when I was asking God to show me a picture of what this looks like. And I had this very vivid picture, which has always stayed with me, of as if someone had their face in their hands and their whole body was shaking with sobs. And so I just think, oh, I don't want to grieve you, Holy Spirit. Fourth, action. So he does things as well. He not only thinks, he not only speaks, he not only feels, but he acts. In John 14:26, it says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So he's actively involved in both teaching and bringing to mind the teachings of Christ. This is one of the things that he does. Another thing that he does in Acts 9:31, "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit." I love that. I wonder what that actually looks like. What does that even mean, really? What does it look like for our church here, our community, to be strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit? We want that. Whatever that looks like, it sounds great. And I've prayed that for us this morning, and that would continue on. So he's a person. He's not a force. He's not a vapor. He's not impersonal. He speaks, he thinks, he acts, he feels. These all characterize him. If we were drawing a picture, it would be like putting ears and a nose and a mouth. He has these facets of personality. Why? Because that means that we can relate to him. When we receive the Spirit, we're not just receiving a force that acts upon us and just moves us and shakes us. No, we're receiving a person. When Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Spirit," it wasn't about them just receiving the breath from his mouth. It was about them receiving the very spirit of his being, the very personhood of Christ, the very personhood of the Father being breathed onto the disciples. And his desire is the same for us, that we would be also experiencing and filled with this person of the Spirit, his very spirit, the same spirit that was in Christ, he wants to give us. He wants us to be filled with and to have. That's a profound thought, to think about the very same spirit that Jesus had, we have. What a kind and generous God that he would share himself with us like that. If you remember in the Old Testament, the high priest only was able to enter the Holy of Holies in the temple once a year, and only with blood. It was a very sacred, special thing to encounter the living God in the Old Testament. It wasn't something to be treated lightly. It didn't happen every day. It was a very special moment. Well, here in the New Testament, we get the Spirit living inside us. The scriptures say that our bodies are the temple of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing that the Creator of the universe would seek to dwell with us minute by minute, every day, walking around in us, as it were? It's a miracle. When before he was, you could say, inaccessible except once a year, with very strict ceremonial rules about how to access him. How many of you have heard of a singer-songwriter named Sufjan Stevens? Okay, the younger people. So anyway, he's kind of like I don't know who I'd compare him to, the modern-day equivalent of Paul Simon or someone classy like that, James Taylor, I don't know. Anyway, so he, by a strange string of events, was in Hong Kong. And my mom, who's sitting right there, which is also still strange, my mom managed to coordinate some events so that he and his family were going to go to their house for supper. And she invited me to go to the house for dinner. Now, just to put this in perspective, it would be like meeting Jesus. Not quite. But it was producing all manner of anxiety and nerves in me, because he's one of my favorite singers, and here I have this chance to not only see him, but to eat dinner with him in my parents' house. And so, of course, I accepted, but I just was thinking all through this stuff, what on earth do I say? It's going to be so awkward when he says, "Hi, I'm Sufjan," and I say, "Hi, I'm Suhail." He's going to think I'm copying his name. His last name is Stevens. My last name, according to the bulletin, is Stevens. There's just unbelievable similarities here. And so I was in a sweat. I was in a sweat. And sure enough, I heard the doorbell ring. I went to my parents' house early. And the doorbell rang, and I opened the door. And there was like this vision, this apparition. There is Sufjan Stevens standing in the doorway. And his hair was rather messy, I might say. I didn't expect that. But it was jet lag, so I guess that's okay. But here he was in the doorway of my parents' house. And we spent 2 hours around the same table. I was like in touching distance of him. And talked about music. I was desperately trying to sneak in that I was a musician and hopefully get signed to the same label. And, oh, Suhail and Sufjan touring together. I mean, that even sounds great, doesn't it? The poetic sounds of that. All of this story to say that, you know, when somebody says they want to be with you, that you admire, it's a special thing. Now, if Sufjan said, hey, Suhail, I've sent you this CD. It's got my signature on it. That would be special. But for him to come to a place where I was and for us to get to spend time together relating to each other like that was unbelievable. Now, lots of us here have given our hearts to God and we love him. He wants to live in us. He's way better than Sufjan Stevens. And he wants to live in us and be with us. Just to put it into perspective, this is an amazing thing. Not to be taken lightly, that he wants to dwell within us and that he does dwell within us. And like has been shared a few times today, he wants to give himself more to us. That's unbelievable. So just to finish up here, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, us being a Vineyard church here, we love the gifts of the Spirit. We love prophecy, we love healing, all of the range of gifts that we see in Scripture we love, and all of those gifts are awesome. But I just want to take one step back and to recognize that the Spirit himself is the gift. He brings good gifts that help us do ministry and do the works of the kingdom, but he himself is a gift, and you'll see this phrase very clearly in Scripture. In John 20, where Peter and the disciples are breathed upon by Jesus, and he says, receive the Spirit. It's clearly on Jesus' initiative that this happens. The disciples weren't in a very heated moment of prayer. They weren't expressing deep longings for more of God. All of a sudden, out of seemingly nowhere, he said, receive the Spirit, and he took the initiative to breathe on them. In Acts 1, verse 4 to 5, listen to what Jesus says about the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still a gift that the Father longs to bless us with. Just like he said in this moment, wait for the gift my Father promised. He has not ceased being a gift. He's still a gift. And just as last week we saw some amazing baptisms here, five amazing men shared their stories and were immersed in the water, it's also his desire that he would so fill and immerse you in his Spirit. It's different than water because we hold our breath when we go under the water. Imagine here that you were immersed in something that you could also take into your lungs. All the way inside, covered all the way outside, immersed, filled with, covered with the Spirit. It's a wonderful word, this word baptize. It's an immersion, and God so longs to immerse us completely in himself and in his Spirit. Not only is the Spirit a gift that the Father promises, it's a good gift. I know that may seem a little redundant, but all of the gifts that God gives are good gifts. In Luke 11, 9 through 11, it says, Jesus is teaching on prayer. And he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And listen to this part. It's amazing. Which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If you then, knowing that you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, the Father is completely good. Our earthly parents are not completely good. Awkward. He gives completely and entirely good gifts to his children. And in this passage, he is comparing himself and his heart to the parallel of us receiving good gifts from our own parents. And the amazing thing is, in this scripture, it says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So he's comparing not only his heart of generosity and goodness towards his children, but also the level of the gift. Just like you know how to give good gifts, I know how to give good gifts. So how much more will I give you the Spirit? The Spirit is the Father's good gift. And also, we need him. The comparison here is between children asking for bread or fish. In other words, provision. They're not asking for M&Ms. They're not asking for candy. They're asking for things that will sustain them, for provision, for nourishment even. Well, how much more will God, being a good father, give his very best gift to his children who ask for nourishment? Bread and eggs, fish and eggs will satisfy for a time. The Holy Spirit lives in you forever. It's like a fountain of living water is how Jesus describes it. And last here from this portion of scripture, the Father wants us to ask somehow. Even though Jesus took the initiative to breathe on the disciples, it's a relationship. He loves being asked for good things. It's his heart to give good things. I'm not a father yet, and I hope to be one day. I don't know why. That was cheesy. I just pointed to Jen. Better that than some other random person, though, I guess. So. Oh, this is just family moments here in the church. I hope to be a father one day. And I think I would also want my kids to ask me for good things that I want to give and that I can actually provide for them. There's something I imagine in the heart of a parent that is brought joy, that is excited when their kids ask them for something that they want to give. Especially if their kids recognize that it's a good thing. Mom and Dad, would you help me complete this chore chart that I can do all my chores effectively and in a timely manner? Sure! Well, how much more does God long to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And you know what? He only wants to be asked because he wants to give. He doesn't want to be asked so he can say no. He wants to be asked so that he can know you want it. And if you want it, you're aligning your heart with what he wants, and he will give it. He will give the Spirit to those who ask. He loves giving good gifts. The Spirit is a good gift. And we can ask and we can receive the Spirit. This last point, and then we'll close and we'll have ministry time, is that the Spirit is a gift for all. The Spirit is a gift for all. He's a gift the Father promises. He's a good gift. And he's available for everyone. In Acts chapter 2, Peter has just had this amazing encounter with the Spirit. Remember in the passage for today, Jesus breathes on the disciples. We have no recorded information of anything dramatic happening to the disciples in that moment. In Acts chapter 2, Peter and the followers of Christ were in the upper room in Jerusalem, and they had a dramatic encounter with the Spirit where they heard the sound of a rushing wind filling the whole house and what seemed to be flames of fire separating and coming onto each one of them. And they all spoke in tongues. It's amazing. Peter explains what has just happened to all those who hear and were in Jerusalem at the time. And this is what he says in Acts 2. "In the last days, God says, I will pour my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. Notice this catalog of people that he's listing here. It's a promise for everyone in this room. Sons, daughters, young, old, servants, men, women, children, those who are near, those who are far. There's no discrimination between those God wants to fill with his Spirit. In the Old Testament, certain people received the Spirit. They were anointed or empowered for certain tasks. Kings, judges, leaders, prophets, etc. Now servants even get the Spirit. Children, there's no discrimination. The Spirit is for all and is a promise for all. And all of us can receive more of him. All of us can be filled. It's not just the people on stage who have the full measure of the Spirit. It's the people on the periphery here. You have just as much access to the Spirit. It's not a centralized enterprise here. Everyone can receive. And of course, receiving this Spirit, receiving God in this way, unlocks all the gifts of the Spirit too. And that's mentioned here by Peter. So we can expect visions and dreams and prophecy, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of knowledge, wisdom, faith, miraculous powers, discernment between spirits. And I just encourage you, how many of those have you seen in operation in your life? Maybe you won't see all of them in succession, all of them continually, but we can expect, we can even pray, we can eagerly desire the gifts. Prophecy is a good one to start, Paul says. We can all be filled with the Spirit, and we need him to live, but also to do ministry, to do the works of the kingdom. Receiving the Spirit also gives us power to extend God's kingdom and to do the works and to speak the words of Christ. Now, there are many things that this handout articulates about the work of the Spirit, and I'd encourage you to read through some of those. Some of you who are creative and who are artists, do you know that the first act of God was creation, and the Spirit was there hovering over the formless void? One of the first people in the Old Testament to be filled with the Spirit, the scriptures say, was an artist. So it's not just for missionaries or church-related people. Artists, those of you who are doing works of justice, the Spirit is upon you to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release those from captives. In all of our social work, in all of the work we do with orphans and the fatherless, with drug addicts, we need the Spirit to do that. We need the Spirit to do everything, actually. I pray that the Spirit would fill me every day. I've been praying that for years and years. So I'd encourage you to look through that at home and see, okay, Lord, I want your Spirit to be with me as I do the art studio stuff, as I'm making the banners, as I'm doing my artwork. Would you fill me with your Spirit? Let me see with your imagination. As I'm doing my schoolwork or as I'm doing the administration stuff, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to see the numbers, the connections, etc. The Spirit is for all, not just all people, but all work. All work. So, Sonia, why don't you come up? Father, thank you so much for your new mercies every day. Your mercies are here today, and thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is here as well. You are here, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you more. We welcome all of your activity and all of your personality, all of your power, all of your presence. We don't want to put a lid on anything that you are. And we thank you that we don't have to be afraid. You understand relationship. You cry out to your Father. We're not to be slaves of fear. We can trust you, and your gifts are good, just like children asking for fish and bread. You won't give us scorpions or snakes, things that will hurt us. You'll give us things that will be a blessing, that will bring life. We need you, Holy Spirit. And we're sorry for the ways that we've limited you in our lives and grieved you. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd reveal ways that your heart has been wounded by us. How have we grieved you? So as Sonia just plays her song here, it's a great heart cry of wanting the Spirit to fill us and to come. So what I'd like you to do is, as she's playing this, if there's things about the Spirit that you want to receive, maybe it's peace. There's a wonderful scripture that says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Maybe some of you want to find some life and some true satisfaction that drugs or alcohol or sniff can't provide you. See if the Spirit is better than wine, better than alcohol, better than drugs. Are you willing to take a risk to try and ask Him to fill you, to fill the longings? Maybe you want gifts. Maybe you'd like more courage to operate in the gifts. Whatever it is, today He's here and He wants to give more of Himself to you. He wants you to receive more of Himself. So I'm going to encourage you, as Sonia just sings here, if that's you in any of the ways you want to receive the Spirit, just stand up. And you can keep your eyes closed, you can open your hands, you can do whatever, but please stand up. And I'd like to encourage those of you who are not standing to look around and ask the Spirit, who do you want me to pray for? And then just take a little step of faith to go over and bless them. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, please take the initiative with us to draw us. Also, I think some of you are very tired with various work that you're doing justice related. Maybe with vulnerable populations or marginalized people groups. And the Spirit is here to empower and to fill you to do justice, that you don't have to do it on your own strength. You can't do it on your own strength. So receive the Spirit this morning. He's here. Those of you who are still sitting, just take a look around and see who's standing up. And a simple prayer, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? And just go with what you feel. You can ask the person what they'd like prayer for, how they'd like to receive the Spirit this morning, and bless the Father's desire to give them more of the Spirit.
Had a sense while we were listening to Suhail speak this morning, We've been talking about the spirit as breath and how that might be awkward or uncomfortable, but I think God wants us to think of it as CPR. This is life-giving. The spirit gives life. He will breathe life into our dead bodies through his spirit.
Holy Spirit.